What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik Yen.
Hello, and welcome to VLH, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how the hell are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Hey.
Very good
there,
to hear it.
There he is.
What's up?
Andy gave me a fright here, ladies and gents, showing up on this Zoom call, looking like he's straight out of prison. Alcatraz.
The old buzz cut, huh?
He's a like thug. Thug life. No. I do not
I was
like
sick of it. I was sick of it. And now it's great. Now I don't even have to think about it. I wake
I've
up.
I've been there, Andy. You've been there.
Yeah, I want to go back. I like drastic changes to my hair. It's an attention-seeking ploy.
So, listeners, if you're out there,
please give me all the attention. Listen, I'm not going to ask you again, Terry, how the bloody hell are you, son of a bitch?
What have you been up to?
Oh, okay.
Right back at you.
Tell you what, I've only been up to one thing. I've been what? Oh.
Oh, dog.
God damn it.
It's with your own favorite. That
what
red and black rascal.
It is a rascal.
It's a Coke Zero.
Nice. Drinking one myself, pal.
Yeah, but mine has old Wild Turkey mixed with it.
Excuse me?
Eases. Oh, that's a strong Wild Turkey. Pour far too much in. My ratios are all off.
Now,
eases the
I've got a
though.
Far more pure. Terry, look at this. Now, it's just a bottle of water. It says H2O on it. But look at it. Mm-hmm. Look how pleasing that bottle is.
It's a pretty good bottle. H2O. Yeah?
That's what I was thinking. €3 in Home Savers. That's.
But do you keep the bottle?
It's all right, just
it's
a bottle.
Not, it's
like
not
what?
A plastic bottle. Like it's
oh no!
Bottle.
So you're going to be hearing. So you're going to be hearing a lot of this.
Just leave the lid off. Just leave the lid off.
Oh,
and don't spill it.
It'll spoil.
No, don't. The water will spoil.
Yes, Terry. I'm no scientist, but yes.
Now let me ask you. Would you ever? Sometimes I'll bring a glass of water up to bed. And
always.
Then I'll realise that I always have a glass of water there from the night before that I didn't drink. Do you drink the previous night's water? And
first
also,
of all,
also, it has cordial in both glasses. It's not just water. I'm not a maniac.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got an ingenious system in that I have a... When I run out of a bottle of cordial, then I will use that bottle and I'll fill that up and I'll bring up the bottle. So I've got a lid on it. So then, yes, I would drink the next days if there was still some left. So, what do you think about
what
that?
What is the bottle thing you just said got to do? I'm talking about a day-old glass of water.
Yeah. Well, this is day-old as well. It's just in a bottle. So I would drink the bottle. I don't know about a glass, though.
I know. I hate that practice. Why would you fill up the liter bottle of Johnson's or whatever, or Robinson's?
What's wrong with that? Robinson's. Look at you. La-dee-da, Mr. French.
No, I'm Tesco Lime, my friend. You know this, Andy.
Lovely
you know
lime.
Me. Yeah, lovely lime. So refreshing.
Anyway, what are we talking about? I should preface at the start of this that my internet connection is a bit unstable, so you might hear a lot of that... sort of music throughout this pod because Terry's kind of gone on me a few times already and we've only just started. I'm using my hotspot because do you remember when I went crawling back to Sky a few weeks ago? Well, something got messed up in the exchange and now I've got no internet and now they have to reorder it. I called today and they essentially said, well, we never got around to ordering that internet for you.
Yeah. The internet store, we're all sold out of that internet there, bub.
So hopefully it lasts anyway. 3 says it's all you can eat data, so, you know.
Yeah, it is, definitely. If you paid that €20, you got all you can eat data. Yeah. Me too. Now, I'm on that plan. I feel like I'm a student again.
Weren't you using like, your student?
How humiliating is it when it's like, face, like, will you ring somebody? I'm like, I've no credit.
I know. I've had to say,
I'll WhatsApp call them. I know. Can't WhatsApp call the
Do
doctor.
Do they have internet? Like, I know. I was on the phone to them the last 3 days, and at least on two occasions I said, if my credit goes, do you have my number so you can call me back? Because I'm a pathetic loser who doesn't have a bill pay phone. So,
Gosh, that's how they get you, is bill pay.
Yeah, fucking.
I've been
no
on
thanks.
Bill pay. I've never gone back. Never go back. Never go back. Never.
No,
what were you talking about before I cut you off?
I was watching a movie. I was only watching one movie. That's all I got to talk about. Now, it might interest you. It's a Francis Ford Coppola joint.
Ooh, Apocalypse Now?
No. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Of all the Ford Coppola movies.
It was just there. What do you think of...
boy. I love Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman,
Anthony Hopkins, 92, I think it was. Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder and Cary Elwes and all have no business being in that movie, to be honest.
I forgot Cary Elwes, isn't it?
Yeah. But Keanu Reeves
is Harker.
His accent is so bad. Yeah, it's so bad.
Is he Harker? Yeah.
He's Jonathan whatever.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And then I think he's Van Helsing. Is he Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. Pretty good casting there, I think.
It is.
Who's Renfield? Is it?
I didn't know his name. I didn't know who it was. You'd probably say, Peter who McNichol. Do you not know?
Peter McNichol is who you need for Renfield.
from Dracula from Dead and Loving It.
Of course. Like, there's never been. I tell you what, he really like carved out a niche for himself in that movie and Ghostbusters 2 of being...
Like the weaselly sort of...
The guy in the thrall of the monster man.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yes, master.
He is, yeah. He's perfect for that.
It's a very sexy
movie. I forgot there was so much sex in it.
Yeah.
And weird.
Steamy.
Like werewolf sex. It was very unsettling.
Vampire?
Yeah, but he turned into a werewolf at one point, and he was riding your one on the gravestone.
I haven't seen it in a long time, to be honest.
Loads of bleeding. Anyway.
I was like, I think you got your movies wrong there,
no,
bub.
But I definitely forgot how steamy it was. I'll tell you,
if you want another sexy...
You had me already, go on.
Vampire movie. Can I recommend...
You had me all the more, yeah, go on.
Interview with the Vampire. I mean, it's not quite as steamy, but there's a lot of attractive people in it. You got
I like
Tom
the whole
Cruise.
Vampire thing.
You got Brad Pitt. Very pretty Brad Pitt. You got a very, very pretty Antonio Banderas as well.
Like,
three hunks there, right?
No,
right.
See,
Tom
I
Cruise
don't want
is,
those.
You
that's,
want
that's
those.
Not what I'm after.
Tom Cruise is camping it up to the 10. It's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Maybe I will. But I actually quite liked...
was that just on Netflix? You got
It's on Netflix, but it's he didn't use any computer visual effects or anything like that. You know what I mean?
I think it was before it looked older than it was.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's before everything is readily available. Like if it's 92, I think Terminator is what? Terminator 2 is 90, is it?
I thought that was 92.
I think it's 91 maybe.
I'll tell you right now.
But like that is like a big. It's like that's a once in a. Yeah, there you go. It's like, well, we're going to make this giant spectacle of a movie, so we got to break out all the effects that we have.
Yeah.
Where it's not like now, where it's like, yeah, I just got this program, I'll run it on my computer for you here, and there you go, there's a vampire there for you.
Yeah.
Perfect? Okay.
Super realistic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it took us 6 months to make this little blob move across the floor, but look at it, it's fucking moving.
Brilliant.
Cameron had us working 12-hour shifts 7 days a week.
I appreciate it all the same. I appreciated the fact that they kept it sort of old school, you know. But enough about me, Terry.
Ooh.
What do you think about me?
Meaning, what have you been up to? Don't like that haircut. I have been watching a lot of stuff as well myself.
Oh yeah.
I watched a great movie with Faye picked the movie on Friday night. Now I know you're thinking, it's crazy, right? Why would me, you know, a self-proclaimed
movie buff.
Yeah, let Faye pick the movie. But okay, I'm gonna stop this now because this is gonna get back to her hand.
I'm recording this Zoom session.
She picked a great movie called Dating Amber.
Right.
It's set by the Curra. Remember the Curra?
No.
It's a place in Ireland. It's where army barracks is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's Kildare, I believe.
I think so.
It's about a young lad who his dad is in the army. His dad is like a colonel or whatever, a commandant, I think it is the term they use.
Great word.
Yes, like Commandant Lassard. But his dad is in the army, and basically he kind of wants to follow in his footsteps, even though he's like skinny and small.
Right.
And also,
Captain America story here, is it?
No, absolutely not, because it kind of because he's gay and he doesn't want anybody to know he's gay, but like, okay, you know the way in school everybody's like, oh, you're faggot or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Every time somebody says that to him, you can see it really affects him. Like,
right, okay.
And there's a girl in school called Amber who is a lesbian, and they come up with a scheme where she knows your man's gay. And they come up with it like a plan to go out with each other until they finish school, so that nobody calls each other or calls them like a dyke or a faggot or whatever. And it's a very funny, heartwarming story about these two kids that like are trying to figure things out. Nice. And I remember laughing because it's so innocent. There's a lot of it is so innocent, but like some of the stuff in the school, where there's a bit where the teacher is like gives him like a touch on the arm, and he's like, you know, you can tell me if you have any problems. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the film, like when he's going through a bad time, he thinks the teacher is gay because of that, and he tries to go kiss him. He's like, What are you doing? He's like, I have a 30-year mortgage with a lady. Eddie, I can't be doing that. He's like, is that door open? Okay, see the way you're closer to that door? Yep, the policy says it's supposed to be open. Great. So the real Irishness of it all. Yeah. That like,
oh, it's Irish, is it?
Oh, it's Irish, yeah. Well, it's in Kildare, right. Andy.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't realize it. Okay.
Yeah, but that real like Irishness of it, I just thought it was great.
Brilliant.
Very, very heartwarming.
Would you say, Terry, that the Irish film industry is strong or weak?
I'd say it's strong for the island that we are. Like, and the quality that we put out is really good.
In terms
good.
Of like Irish actual movies, not necessarily just Irish actors who get big work.
Like, if you ever take a chance on these Irish movies, for lack of a better term, like I always find I'm pleasantly surprised, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's always something that, like, especially with a comedy, with an Irish comedy, there's always lots there that I'm like, I definitely relate to that sentence your man just said because I've said it in my teens or whatever like that. Like, even there was a scene in it where like they go to a club and the two of them are just like dancing around. And me and Faye were sitting here, I was like, oh, remember being able to do that? Like, God, will we ever be able to do that again? Like, go to a club and just, like, fucking dance, you know? It's like, oh, God, I miss that.
I don't, to be honest. I don't miss the dancing.
I know
aspect.
You don't, but, like, it just even had the feeling of, like, being at a That's festival nice, or something like that, that it was, like, being around people and dancing. I'm like, oh, man.
It's mad how that seems so long ago, isn't it?
I know, like, the before time, you know?
It's like, some sort of
not
life,
even a year,
life before
not,
this one.
Not even a year, like.
Yeah, we're coming up to our big anniversary.
I watched another movie that I think you would probably enjoy a little bit more. It's a movie called Freaky.
Oh.
Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's a spin on Freaky Friday and Friday the 13th combined, okay?
Hmm. Okay.
It's Vince Vaughn plays a serial murderer.
You have me.
Like, okay, he plays like the Jason
right.
of it all. And something happens about an ancient artifact knife thing. And like he picks it up. It starts on like Wednesday the 11th. And it goes to Friday the 13th. But it was like he murders right. some kids in a house on Wednesday the 11th and ends up picking up this dagger that one of the kids' dads, it was like an ancient dagger that he collected, right? So there's your magical yeah. MacGuffin. And he goes to kill this girl, I think on the next day. Again, another high schooler. But he uses the magic dagger. And what happens then is they swap bodies. So Vince Vaughn right. is essentially playing a, you know, teen girl.
Can I stop you there? Yes. I fucking love it already.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, man. It's it's like an hour 45 or something.
Brilliant. I think that's your way of saying it. Don't get too excited.
No, like, that's the thing. There was parts in it where I was like, I wish more people, like, I wish the kill count was a bit higher.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of doing stuff and you're like, they feel like they're just padding out time.
Yeah.
But Vince Vaughn is very good as the 16-year-old girl. Like,
brilliant.
Like, it's just fun to see him kind of be silly again.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of movies with him lately where he's being serious and dark and you're like, yeah, okay, you're kind of good at that. But also,
he's got the face for it, but he's got the comedian's gene, you know what I mean?
That's it. He can be so like rat-a-tat charming, and like him running with his hands up like this for most of the movie, like mincing, you know, running like a girl, for lack of a better term.
But do you see him doing it, or is it the 16-year-old girl?
So for the second half of the film, it's like Vince Vaughn. The girl is in Vince Vaughn's body.
Right.
So it's Vince Vaughn acting as the girl.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. And like, the girl is now the killer in school. So it's like anybody that had pissed off the girl or that like right. continues to mock her, you're like, oh, what up, jerk up? You know, like,
yeah.
that's getting bullied. Then all of a sudden it's like, she's going to kill them now.
Is this movie anywhere accessible, Terry?
I'll tell you off mic.
No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I'll have to tell you off mic.
Okay. You never do tell me off mic as well.
I'm sick and tired of sending you links. Look, the whole jig is up now. The feds are going to be closing in any second.
And that's 30 seconds. We got them.
Keep them talking, Andy.
How does it work again, Terry? Anything else been going on with you?
One last movie.
Oh, just one more thing.
One last movie I watched. It was called The Killing.
Ooh.
I watched this on Sunday night. And it was a black and white movie. It's Stanley Kubrick's first ever movie, I believe. His first theatrical
Stanley Kubrick's
movie.
First ever movie. You're breaking up on me there.
Yes, his first movie. It's a heist movie.
Okay.
No, it's you. You are the one that is breaking up. It's a heist movie, right? They're trying to like rob a racetrack or something. And it's done in such a way that it kind of, like, you have your main guy who's running the crew.
I'm not hearing this.
You're not hearing anything?
No, it's breaking up. I hear you now.
Okay.
I'm going to turn off my video. Yeah, no. I can hear you now. I'm going to turn off my video, if that's all right.
It's not all right.
Because I think it's eating into my
okay.
bandwidth.
Okay, go for it.
I'm right here, Terry. See the big company logo looking right at you.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable. I have to stare at this fucking thing for the rest of the Zoom call.
Anyway, yeah. I can see you, Terry. That's all that matters.
All right, great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Heist movie. It's a heist movie. And it's basically, I think they should remake it for the modern times because it's fucking brilliant. And it's kind of a timeless thing. And I love the way they set it up in that.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called The Killing. I bought it on Blu-ray. And
right.
They kind of set it up where they're jumping around in time load. So it's like, starts off with, they introduce who's on the team, you know, the the crack squad or whatever. And there's a voiceover every time. Then it's like, later that day, you know, one of the other members is meeting with somebody else, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, something drastic might happen, and then it will go, like, 3 hours earlier, John Boy was doing this or whatever. And the way they jump around, like, I don't know, for me, it was, like, so needless, like, or, like, not overly complicated. You know what? You know, like sometimes with heist movies, it's like all of a sudden it's like the big twist.
Don't know what's going on.
It's like the big twist that is like, yeah, but like that's not realistic, or you know, there's no way that how could he known about that, or you know, something ridiculous like that. That they're always trying to wow the audience.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
this one was like they just kept it straightforward, simple, but it, like some of the way the story unfolded was brilliant, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. I'd love to see. Ooh. Somebody try and remake it for modern times so that more people would see it. You know what I mean?
What year was it originally released in?
It's like 56, 58. Wow. Something like that. So it's like that old, but like, and again, it was like 85 minutes or something like that. Like really, really. Brilliant. And then like, I remember the ending.
Well, I'm getting interested more in classic movies or old movies and stuff like that. So,
so good.
I would be interested in that.
Like, and I don't know if you've ever watched any Kubrick before. Have you watched 2001?
I haven't seen 2001. I saw Clockwork Orange. That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's him, yeah. That's actually one that I need to revisit. And I don't know how pleasant
I don't know
experience.
If I, like, I loved it, or I pretended like I loved it at least when I was, like, 18 or 17. But I don't know if I'd like it now.
Yeah, it seems
he did
bit...
The Birds, didn't he, as well?
No, that's Hitchcock. Yeah. No, he did... So, The Shining, of course.
Yeah, okay, saw that.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut?
I have seen it in bits.
That's another one I'd like to, you know, reopen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll do it for the Patreon, and you can all listen along, watch along with us. How about that?
That'd be good, actually.
Yeah, well, there we go.
I'd love to do more watch-alongs.
Hey.
I'll tell you what I'm in the middle of. Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yes, Andy. Yes. Did you watch 5? Did you watch Rogue Nation?
I don't think I've seen any since like the last 10 years or something. I've just stuck on...
Were you thinking of Lady Gaga when he jumped
I haven't
the
gotten to that scene yet.
You haven't
even
got to the plane yet.
It's just I just love Tom I love a dead. Tom Cruise thriller like I don't care I loved a Tom Cruise thriller any sort
have
of action
have you watched Jack Reacher on Netflix?
I have,
yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, very good. I think I'm thinking of the right one. Yeah very good. Now listen, Terry, before we get into it, we've actually got some emails.
Hello. Plural.
So, 2 emails.
God damn. Yeah.
The first one is from a patron and what are we calling it?
Players Club.
Players Club. Oh boy. Chris, and he says, would you rather go to Rand McNally or Monster Island? Don't worry, it's just a name. Now, I don't understand the question.
What do you mean you don't understand?
What's Rand McNally?
Oh, you don't remember the Australia episode where he's like, so down there in Rand McNally?
Oh.
And it's like, okay. Oh, in Rand McNally, you know, hats wear people or whatever.
Oh, so okay.
It's like
Die
the name
Simpsons
of the
podcast host.
Yeah, well, like, you're talking to the right guy here. Oh, you should be getting the emails.
You have access to the account.
Yeah,
well, you know the password.
I need the password again.
It's the same one.
And also the email address.
I say it at the end of every episode. So what's your answer then? Rand McNally or Monster Island, Terry?
I think I'd try and give Rand McNally a spin.
Just because
I'm sure we'd run into Andrew McNally. I'm sure he'd be there.
I think like 3 people would get this joke about a guy that we went to school with. Oh, very
what
good.
Are the chances, though, of Andrew McNally not living in Rand McNally? Stop saying McNally.
There is more chance of him living there, to be honest, yes.
Than anywhere else in the world.
Now, email number 2. Thank you very much, Chris. Well, I would also go with Rand McNally. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Terry, you may remember we were asking for our listeners to chime in on this GameStop saga.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was expecting now, a more thorough explanation, because listening back to what I was saying was garbage.
I kind of got it. Well, our old pal and Players Club player, Richie Kernan.
I fucking knew it was going to be Richie. In. I knew it was going to be Richie.
Right, hang on. Okay, you've broken up on me again. Okay, now you're all right. Okay. Now, hiya, lads. As always, I'm really enjoying your work and looking forward to listening to... Looking forward slash listening to a new episode is one of the things that has gotten me through the last year. So thanks for that. Ah, very well.
Our pleasure, Richie.
I was watching one of the greatest Christmas movies ever, Trading Places, over the Christmas break. And when it came to the end of the movie where they get rich and bankrupt, the old guys, I realized how little I understood of what just happened and had to do a bit of reading to fully understand how it went down. It just so happens that, as I understand it, very similar mechanics happened with the GameStop story, although holy I'm open shit. To correction by literally anyone that may know better.
I think he's right, though. That makes complete sense now that he's saying it. Like,
now, there's more to it, because this is what got me, right? So he goes, so the way it works is that the hedge fund slash brokers don't own the stock at the time because it's poor performing and a waste of money, but they enter a deal whereby they commit to sell stock to an investor at, say, the current rate on a future agreed date was hovering around $20 to $40 early January, betting that the price would tank and that they can then buy the stock at a cheaper price to fulfill their commitment and make a tidy profit. This went sideways because the Reddit crowd bought up a shit ton of stock, increasing demand and causing prices to soar, peaked at around $350 a share at close. Hedge fund couldn't buy at a cheaper price to fill the commitment, so they were forced to buy at a higher rate and lost billions because of it. TLDR, capitalists got a taste of their own medicine. Delighted.
Yeah. Okay. And now, when talking, putting it in contrast with Trading Places, I never really understood the ending now until he's connected those two dots.
There you go. So not only did the email help you understand the GameStop situation, it helped you enjoy Trading Places even
more. No, I think I enjoy the movie less now, to be honest.
Thank you, Richie.
It's a fantastic movie and a fantastic email.
Thank you very much for both emails. That was brilliant to actually get an email. Now, Terry, if I may, can I please talk to you about The Simpsons?
Yes, and I bet you have a load of stuff for this episode.
Yes, I do, so bear with me. It was the 21st episode of the 7th season, I'll be the first to tell you. It aired on April 14th, 1996, written by a whole bunch of people, to be honest. I'm not going to read out them all.
I did notice that on the credits. Did you see it took up the whole screen?
Huge, yeah.
When I think it was in the Apu, when in the Quickie Mart
episode. Yeah, it covered the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get straight into it. It got a Nielsen rating of 6.9 and was the 7th highest rated show on Fox that week, which is interesting.
7th, they're really slipping down though.
I know, right? It got rave reviews and a lot of positive feedback and a great reception and all that. I was just looking into the production
by Marshall Talmadge.
That's what I was thinking. I couldn't think of his name. Now, this is going to get a bit wordy, so let me just take a drink first.
Sure. You know what, while I'm at it,
if there's one thing I hate, it's listening back to an episode and hearing that I had a dry mouth for a bit. And I'm like, oh, have a drink.
Oh, dry mouth Cantwell, they called them.
Now,
at least you're not stuffing your face with donuts this week.
I was halfway through the second donut and I had the thought of, what am I doing?
Yeah, great.
The episode... too comfortable.
Yeah.
The episode's principal idea, I'm just going to keep going, came from season 4 episode The Front, which contained a short sequence entitled The Adventures of Ned Flanders, featuring its own little card and theme song at its conclusion. The scene has no relevance to the main plot and was designed solely as a filler. But the staff loved the concept and attempted to fit similar scenes into other episodes, but none were short enough to require one. So Oakley and Weinstein decided to make an entire episode of linked short scenes involving many of the show's characters. 22 short films about Springfield, the title was decided upon at the start of the episode's production, even though there's not actually 22 stories in it. I think it was 21 they had.
I always remember when I was younger doing the count, and I always remember coming up short, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because there were more scenes, but a few of them had to be cut for time. What I loved was to decide who would write each of the segments. All of the writers chose their top three favourite characters and put them into a hat. The names were drawn out and the writers were assigned their parts.
That's fucking so deadly, like.
Oakley wrote the Oakley wrote Superintendent Chalmers' story. Weinstein did Comic Book Guy and Milhouse. David Cohen penned the Reverend Lovejoy sketch. And there was a deleted Krusty the Clown scene too. Brent Forrester wrote the Krusty Burger scene, while Rachel Polito wrote the Bumblebee Man one.
And I wonder, just because you're saying like two different people wrote the Krusty Burger and the Herman part, like, yeah. You know, like, obviously they're having the talk, they're talking to each other, like, we're going to do this about Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, you know, it's like, very Pulp Fiction-y.
Well, that's the whole thing, I guess. That was, yeah. I thought you were going to say that it was based upon the idea of Pulp Fiction, you know, it's all these
Well, the idea was to do it in a similar style to Pulp Fiction, I suppose, in getting, you know, all the linked short scenes here and there and piecing it together. And the first draft was 65 pages long, so it needed to be cut down to 42.
That's an hour and 5 minutes, pretty much, like they say. They say,
oh, is it?
A page is a minute.
Ah, interesting.
Now, it depends. I'd say with animation, it's probably because of so much, like, description.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense, actually, yeah. There was a lot of scenes cut, so that's why they threw a load of characters at the end when Lisa had the gum in her hair. Just to get them in there, I guess. I love this where it's Oakley was saying about the Chalmers scene. He wrote the Chalmers scene because he's his all-time favorite character from the show. The main reason he loved him was that until Frank Grimes was created for season 8, Chalmers was the only character that seemed to operate in the normal human universe, which is very true.
Which just, his frustrations are so natural, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, like, it's exactly, you know, that's how a normal,
you understand
person.
What he's going through.
Yeah.
You know?
In previous episodes, Skinner and Chalmers' scenes together revolved around one joke. Skinner tells Chalmers an unbelievable lie, but Chalmers believes him anyway. So their scene in this episode is made up of a string of 13 interconnected lies. The dialogue between him and Skinner was something that had never been done before, in that it's just a long, relaxed conversation with nothing important being said at all. Which is,
like,
true.
We'll dig into it later on, but it's so fucking good. Like, it's a high point, I would say.
I would agree. Definitely. Should we just get into
just
it?
Get
should
into
we
just it. Let's
I'm gonna throw me papers.
Yeah.
Now, let me see here. First note: Milhouse and Bart spitting. Absolutely disgusting. Carry on. Off that bridge, knackers.
Yeah. Fucking. I have done it in my life, but...
Spit off a bridge?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch, you'll fry.
I don't know, 50, 60?
Bridges? My whole life?
I don't know. I mean, where I grew up wasn't that big a deal.
So that was good anyway. You know already it's going to be a bit of a different kind of episode there.
Well, the fact that they fade to black... And then they come up with the title, you know, and then they fade back in.
Yeah.
You're like, and that's something I was like, I never noticed that really, but for, you know, in previous watches, or like took note of it. And this time around, I was like, oh, right, okay. So this is kind of like, you're in it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this, it's so
starting
different.
Now. Okay.
And I guess the first short story was the Apu, Jolly Bengali.
Yeah. I was trying to time this, how, like, many minutes into the episode or whatever it was, and how much stuff Apu does. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, it was 2 minutes into the episode, and he has eaten the tofu dog. He has chugged a beer. danced like mad, had sex with a woman, and then fallen into the pool in like, and like, I know that's the joke or whatever, but in terms of the show's running time, I was like, that's a lot of track they got through there.
Yeah. And it's like, it just seemed to fit perfectly like that.
I was like, this is great that, you know, you forgot that they'd given Apu, or they'd laid the groundwork for Apu being this kind of multifaceted character, like, you know, as opposed to being the workaholic, quickie mart person. He also, like, and they come back to it in another season or two where he's, you know, the arranged marriage thing, where he's the lad on the town, but like they've given you this kind of, I don't know, this track or whatever for it.
Yeah.
To come back to, and it's like I was laughing my head off just with him. First of all, when he's like, he's like, "Oh, no ring. I see you're just engaged, arranged to be married." And then it's like when he comes out with his like turtleneck on backwards and his smoke, like, "Don't worry, I'll tell them you're all untouchable," and straight into the pool. Like,
one thing that I definitely liked about that scene, I don't know. I never noticed it before, but one of the cooks, the guy who was cooking the tofu dog, did you see what was on his apron?
No.
It had, "In my next life, you're cooking."
I only clicked this time about it being tofu dogs as well.
Like, yeah.
You know?
The
thing I didn't like about it was when he gets back to the Quickie Mart, why was Hans Malmen so fucking weird looking?
Was he like, weird looking?
Like, you know, he's normally the brown skinned?
Yeah.
He was like Simpsons yellow skinned, and I was like, "Ugh,
I never noticed it.
You're too bright looking, man."
I did notice some animation goofs during this movie, particularly towards the end, where it was like they were drawn outside the lines or something like that. But I don't know if that's just a Disney Plus thing or what.
Yeah, when it was the Nelson part, I noticed it was a bit crazy. Yeah, that was on. That might just be a Disney Plus thing, though.
Yeah.
So I don't remember being like that on the DVDs.
No. Interesting. The next thing that I heard, the radio ad.
Oh, like, I always think of this. Guard really? Your ears.
Yeah, I never got that.
Always think about it. Like,
so brought to you by Gordon's Ear Guards. Guard your ears.
But it's your man's voice. He's like, you know, the 1940s radio cast.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much of the good kind of instrumental score this episode, like the dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, it's very good.
You're just like this one here, like that one was like you say, it was an old style music, and then it turns out they're listening to an old style radio program, but like I was just loving it, the level of detail that they're putting in.
It's like one of those episodes where, like, you know the way there's some episodes where we say, oh, they had some real like irreverent sort of jokes scattered about the place. It was great. Like this whole episode is just all the stuff that they really like to do when they're writing, that they finally get a chance to have a whole episode full of like not plot developing, sort of just random interactions and conversations and 100%.
Like I talked about it last week with the confidence they were riding Bart on the road with, and this is like, again, it's so fitting that it's the next episode, because they're just like, okay, well, look, we've done everything we can do,
yeah,
pretty much, so we want to do this, and, you know, like, why not, like, in terms of, like, okay, we could just give you the same old again, or we could try, you know, experiment and do this kind of
free. That's the thing, like, they have the formula there, but they're always trying to do different things, and, you know.
They have it down pat, like, in terms of pretty much, especially this run, the last five episodes are really high quality.
Yeah.
And all of season 7, I think, has been very good, but, like,
yeah.
At this point, we're just like, well, we're going to throw you something different. And I even remember as a kid watching it being like, the reason why I loved this episode is because it felt so different. Weird and different. Like, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
But like, what's going on with that other story?
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
Now that we've moved on, like.
Yeah. Are they going to come back to that?
Yeah. So you get the Lisa with the gum in the hair.
Yeah.
There's gum in my hair.
I felt so bad for with the peanut butter and mayo having to go and sit in the sun.
But I thought it was really funny where she's like, "I smell like a sandwich." She's going to sit and.
But that, like, and that's another thing as well, because then you get the bees attacking it, and then one of the bees flies off and goes into Smithers' eye. I love the way they tie together those little things where it'll be like a beer can falling, but then it'll bounce somewhere that you'll see a different scene. Or,
and like the fact that it stopped and kind of looked at the bee, bumblebee guy,
yeah,
for a second, and then like flew off. Like, and I was like, oh, we're coming back here later as well. Like,
But yeah, when the bee goes in Smithers' eye, what a nightmare scenario. That's
my
like
God.
Literally
and like
the worst
Burns
nightmare.
Being like, what's the meaning of this? And he's like, there's a bee in my eye, sir. And like, just like you see how rigid he is on the bike, and he's like, I can't move because they caused me to die.
And just the noise like but apparently they
got me to a hospital.
Apparently every word that he yells at Smithers is real and used correctly, they said. They said they used like a 19th century slang thesaurus to look up a bunch of words.
I'm looking at it here and it's like, stick your left hoof on that flange now.
Yeah.
If you can't get it through your bug-addled brain, jam the second mephitic clodhopper of yours on the right doodad. Now pump those scrawny chicken legs, you stuporous funker. So yeah, it sounds right. Like.
And I love the fact when they get to the hospital, Burns is like out of breath and just about to say these ridiculous profanities.
I did like Dr. Nick. He's like, you need booze. I just throws his change at him.
I never noticed. I felt so bad for Smithers because, first of
all,
he's
going to die. Like,
he's going to die. And also, I never noticed, like, he grabs at the doctor when they take Burns in.
Like,
he grabs at his jacket, at his coat or whatever. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, God, the desperation. Like, we never really talk that much about Dr. Nick. Like, I think this is as good a time as any to kind of just have a quick little sidebar about him. What do you make of him as a character?
I don't really like him. I'll turn my video back on.
Hey, there he is.
Oh, the haircut. I forgot. Put it on. Pull her back in. She's not done yet. I don't care for the Dr. Nick character, to be honest. I mean, I'm not saying I've never laughed at him. I'm sure I have. I feel like that's sort of like a catchphrasey sort of thing. Ends up getting overused, and I grow to resent the character because the catchphrase annoys me.
That's why I kind of like him now. I'm kind of looking at him as if it's abstract art at this point in my life, where I'm like, yeah, of course they wanted him to be annoying. They wanted him to be like this kind of.
I mean, he plays the part perfectly. It's the exact character they were going for.
They should almost be like a cheer, a audience noise when he shows up with his
hi everybody.
Like, you know, like an old sitcom, like,
That would actually improve it if they just had that.
Yeah, but I have to say, I think this is his finest hour. Where, like,
hang on a sec, you've broken up on me. You've broken up on me. Hang on, I've broken up. Should I say? I'm turning my video back off. It was a terrible experiment. Okay.
When he shows up to like the board meeting, like Dr. Nick, and it's like the voice on this guy, like, Dr. Nick, this malpractice committee has a few complaints against you, and I'm like, I don't know, I just envisioned Phil Hartman doing the voice. I think it's Harry Shearer, but I'm like, oh, if you just gone to Hartman, you know,
I'd love it a little bit more. Yeah, I'd love if they used Hartman more with other secondary sort of characters
now,
and all
really,
that, you know? Yeah.
He's down to.
And he shows up in
Troy
this episode just for like one line.
Yeah, Bazooka Joe's got big packets.
Didn't they say that they like get him to record lines for like a few episodes at a time when he comes in? Did I imagine that?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably. No, I could see that happening because like that was their practice on Futurama as well, when they had guest stars who they thought they might use again. They would like have them record a bunch of stuff, and then it's like we might use this down the line. I always would think, especially with something like Family Guy, that they don't tell them like the whole thing, like what because sometimes like I think of like, you know, as a cutaway to somebody, and it's a guest voice on Family Guy, and the joke is absolutely roasting them, and like, Didn't they agree? Especially if it's like an old, you know, fashion
I've noticed that.
Guest star. And I'm like, it's like they mustn't have told them what they're going to use their voice for. Yeah, did they know that, like, the fact that we
It wouldn't surprise me.
No.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't really know much about the behind the scenes of Family Guy. I don't know if it's that kind of show, but, like, I don't know.
They're disruptors. Andy, you know? I remember when
is that still going?
Yeah, I was going to say to you, actually, you see this new thing we're getting as part of our Disney Plus subscription?
No.
Star? You haven't heard about this?
No.
It's the...
What is it?
I was going to say it's the role I was born to play, but it's the thing I've been waiting for, baby. Remember I was saying how, like, Disney owns so much of Fox's catalog?
Yeah.
And, like, how... Well... In America, you get, like, it goes to Hulu, and you get Hulu as part of your Disney Plus thing. Well, now for Europe, they've come up with, like, Disney Star. So it's like all the R-rated content is going that, like, Disney owns is going onto that. Like, so, like, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh. Ooh.
Family Guy. It's Fox, essentially. All the Fox stuff is going there. So you'll finally be able to get...
This is a dumb question, but is... Is Fox and 20th Century Fox the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, 20th Century Fox...
No such thing as dumb questions, so...
Now, 20th Century Fox that used is, like, the movie studio, and now it's, like, 20th Century Pictures. They've taken the Fox branding because Disney have bought it. But...
I see.
They have, like, left... How would I say? They've left the TV networks like FX and Hulu. Like, they're still... They haven't changed the branding of that, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. I think it seems... It's Always Sunny as well, I guess. Because that's FX.
Oh, yeah. Be off Netflix.
Yeah, I think... I'd say what they've probably done is... Because Netflix had signed up for that, they sign up for so many years, so they run out of that contract. So that's why, like, Netflix used to have Marvel movies on it. It used to have, you know, other stuff. Yeah, Netflix used to have Star Wars movies. And before...
Is it just me or is Netflix shy? Netflix doesn't have, like... I think Netflix has kind of fallen a bit behind because they don't really have, like, a franchise like the rest of them do, you know?
Well, we're going to talk about this off mic in... For something I would maybe suggest down the pike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I have been thinking the same thing lately.
Interesting.
And it's something that I would like to investigate a little bit further.
I don't know what we're talking about right now, but I'm very interested.
The Patreon, Andy. The Patreon. All roads lead to the Patreon.
You're talking. Anyway, let me get on with it.
So, Dr. Nick... you know, has to go and talk down the crazy man. It turns out to be Abe.
He's demanding to see a quack. I love his medical diagnosis where he's like,
"Bonus eruptus."
Causes the skeleton to leap out the mouth and escape the body.
The only hope is transcendental electromicide. And, like, he's like, "I need a golf cart motor." He's like, "Ah, it's too late."
he gives him 1,000 volts, and then your man's like, "All charges are dropped." Like, yeah, they were about, like, to, like, fire him on malpractice, and he's injecting this old man with voltage.
It's like, all keep charges doing that every 5 seconds. Yeah.
The next note I have here is Mo. We get to Mo, and he says to Barney that they sent his bar tower to NASA. It's like, the fact that he pulls out this stack of paper, he's like, "You owe $70 billion.
Well, like, not even that it's a stack of papers, that it's a stack of, like, papers printed off really old government computer.
Yeah.
You know, like, it has those things at the side.
Perforated, like.
Yeah, you used to get your payslips like that or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, the fact that, like, it's $70 billion, it's like, oh, no, that's the voyage to space. Yours is $14 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, as well, like, you're expecting, because it's such a big sheet of paper. I love the fact that like you'd expect, you owe me $49,470,000,000, you know, like all that, but it's just like $70 billion.
Well, I like with Barney as well, that he's like, oh, we all had a good laugh, Mo. And like the fact that he has, where did he get that $2,000 from?
You know, I know.
Barney always seems to be flush.
Did he actually explain it?
No, because before it's like medical testing and or in other episodes that he's like that.
Yeah. And then Snake robs the place. Mo jumps. He's like,
the way Mo scuttles down, like.
Huh, freeze, dude. Move a muscle and I'll blow this wino's head off.
Ah! I'm behind 3 inches of bulletproof glass. Do your worst.
All right.
No, stay out of there! Stay out of there! Oh, good God, no!
Oh, goodbye, student loan payments.
Come back here, you stinking... Hey, I wonder how much air is in here.
And it's like the nose pressed up against the glass.
He's like, all right. Hey, stay out of there.
He's like, I'm behind 3 inches of bulletproof glass. Do your worst. And like, he's just flicking like the flicking lights the light on and off. It's such a perfect use of him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of hits on everything that he's like, he's devious, he's cheap, he's a coward.
Well, that's, you know, what's I'm sure so fun about them writing this episode is they don't have to incorporate them into any bigger plot that's going on with the Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's just what's funny about this guy and let's make a scene around it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's great. And then like the next, yeah, go on.
No, I was gonna say that's great. And then it moves on to Skinner and Chalmers. Yeah. Like
Skinner with his crazy explanations, the superintendent's gonna need his medication. When he hears Skinner's lame exaggerations, there'll be trouble in town tonight.
Seymour! Superintendent, I was just stretching my calves on the windowsill. Isometric exercise. Care to join me?
Why is there smoke coming out of your oven, Seymour?
That isn't smoke. It's steam. Steam from the steamed clams we're having. Steamed clams.
Ooh.
Superintendent, I hope you're ready for mouth-watering hamburgers.
I thought we were having steamed clams.
No, I said steamed hams. That's what I call hamburgers.
You call hamburgers steamed hams?
Yes, it's a regional dialect.
Uh-huh. What region?
Upstate New York.
Really? Well, I'm from Utica, and I've never heard anyone use the phrase steamed hams.
Oh, not in Utica. No, it's an Albany expression.
I see. You know, these hamburgers are quite similar to the ones they have at Krusty Burger.
Oh, no. Patented Skinner Burgers. Old family recipe.
For steamed hams.
Yes.
Yes, and you call them steamed hams despite the fact they are obviously grilled.
You know, one thing I should... Excuse me for 1 second.
Of course.
Oh, well, that was wonderful. Good time was had by all. I'm pooped.
Yes, I should be. Good Lord, what is happening in there?
Aurora Borealis?
Aurora Borealis. At this time of year, at this time of day, in this part of the country, localized entirely within your kitchen.
Yes.
May I see it?
No.
Seymour, the house is on fire!
No, Mother, it's just the Northern Lights.
Well, Seymour, you are an odd fellow, but I must say, you steam a good ham.
Help! Help!
Why is it, like, there's so much written on this, there's so much versions, there's so many...
What's the intangible thing about it that makes it...
Like, I agree, it's a hilarious scene. Yeah, like, even before the meme, it stood out as, like, a very funny bit. It always has. But it's just taken on... It's almost like a medium of its own.
It's hard to pinpoint. You know, it's really hard to, like... You're sitting there and you're watching it and you're like, this is so good, it's so good. And then if you try and dive into it, that's the harder point because, again, all the writing is so good, but it's like...
Yeah.
the little things of being like, it's an upstate New York reference. Yeah. Like, well, I'm from Utica, and not Utica, yeah. Albany. Like, all these little specifics that don't relate to us in any way, but because they're so specific, make it fucking great. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, and you call them steamed hams.
Like, there's so many lies.
Yeah, even though they're grilled. Like, aha. Uh-huh. And then just, well, okay. I'm going to just keep going.
He never even... He does, like, Skinner is just unrelenting in, like, not picking up the vibe that Chalmers doesn't believe a word of this, despite the fact that they're clearly grilled.
You have to admire him. You know, like... And, like, how it starts even is, like, you gods! You know, his roast.
Yeah.
And then, like, the
it's
whole...
It's such a, like, classic sort of... Like, almost hacky, but, like, you know, meta-hacky. You know what I mean?
Like I said, we were about watching WandaVision recently, and it's like that, yeah. Like, whew, it's that. It's a 50s sitcom bit where it's like, oh, yeah. Like,
my roast.
Know, yeah, and then, like, he's, like, trying to get out the window, yeah. And the boss that's coming to dinner interrupts or whatever. You know, it's just, but, like,
yeah.
It's like something that, like, if it was anything else, they would put, like, the laugh track in or something like that here. Whereas they're clever enough with this that it's just, they play it straight. Apart from the title yeah. sequence and stuff like that, like, they play it so straight, and that is also what makes it sing. So yes, they're not looking definitely. For a joke, you know what I mean? They're not yeah. looking to
it's
be
that,
jokey.
It is that kind of, it's a free-flowing, like he said himself, like a free-flowing sort of just conversation about nothing, essentially. Like, yeah. It's great. And the way it's, as well, one of the things I think that makes the scene for me is just that little noise that Chalmers makes before he says Aurora Borealis. He's like, he can't believe what he's just heard. Like, Aurora Borealis. And the fact, like, that the camera zooms in, like, at this time of year, at this part of the, like, yeah.
it's jutting closer in, like, and closer. Really good filmmaking. If you saw that in a movie, you're like, oh man, that's yeah. amazing. Look at the camera moves that Kubrick is doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it comes back around.
Brilliant.
But, like, some of Smithers, oh, not Smithers, Skinner's wording, where he's like, I was just stretching my calves on the windowsill, isometric exercise, care to join me?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not it's smoke, it's not smoke, it's steam from the steam clams we're having, steam clams. You know, like this. He's like, you can literally see it in the dialogue of, like, the thought process, and, like,
yeah, and he's so quick to it as well.
Yeah, but it's also, it makes me think of, like, when he's going out with Edna, he's like, car keys, like, he's so quick on the, I guess, and this is going fucking 3D chess with it, when your whole life is a lie, ooh. You know, when you're Armin Tanzarian yeah. pretending to be Seymour Skinner, it fucking makes sense that you're so quick on your
comes
feet
natural.
Being able to tell a lie, like, you know, when you're essentially a con man.
And it's how believable he goes, even like you said, he's like, I'm from Utica, and I never heard it. It's like, oh, not Utica, no, it's an Albany expression. Like, so
yeah,
quick,
and, like, he's
with
able
the
to
next
come up with
follow-up
that, like,
lie.
Upstate New yeah. York area, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no
pull
out,
in, like,
between.
So quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's no in between. Or like, it's not, it's like, no, well, it's just so smooth with the no. lies.
What's that term that you used? 3D chess?
Well, yeah, I mean... Or galaxy brain, like, or whatever it. You want to call it, because ooh. It's like, it's that you're assigning meaning to something that there was yeah. no meaning to before, but now after the fact, it's like
brilliant.
You know, ooh, thinking outside the box. Like I'm obviously they hadn't come up with the idea that he had was not the real Seymour Skinner at this point.
Yeah, they wouldn't
but
have thought of it.
In
there's no way they would have.
No, but in context now, looking at it, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense for his character as yeah. I know him now after 33 yeah. seasons or whatever. Like, he's a liar.
I suppose. And then when we get, and then even just Skinner's mom at the end, where it's just like, she's just screaming for help, and he's still keeping up the lie, like, with Thomas until he's out of sight.
Like,
help!
He's like, no, mother, it's just the Northern Lights. And, like, just the whole house is on fire by the time Chalmers is real.
Such a.
And then you get. We could do a whole podcast
on that bit alone, but
yeah,
and yeah. So the next bit is what Homer and Maggie with the newspaper.
Yeah, which I like. I have to say.
I liked it. It was kind of filler. Like it was a little two minute short.
Though, it's nice to see Homer being a dad. You know, that's always a welcome thing where it's literally just
like even though he messed up putting her in there, like he's still won't leave her and he's still playing with her when he gets home and all.
Exactly. Those two things I was gonna pinpoint where he's like you could easily see him running off to get changed, but the fact that Maggie is like going to be upset. He hangs around. I did like the gag with the dog and the cheese. I don't know. I just think it's so funny that he thinks it's going to work. He's like, good boy. No.
Yeah. And then like, Maggie turns around. The headline is like, deadbeat dad, beat dad.
Beat dead.
Oh, is it beat dead?
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's deadbeat dad, beat dead.
That's even better. Then so the way they get very Pulp Fiction-y then.
But the way they start transitioning is really good though, because it's like on the paper there's an ad for Krusty Burger, and then it, you know, transitions to the Krusty Burger logo outside the restaurant, and then you get, you know, Lou, Eddie, and Chief,
and you even get the little sort of little sound effect.
Could have done without that, to be honest.
A little on the nose, don't you think?
I don't know. It for me, it doesn't age particularly well.
I mean, when you do a reference so obvious, it's you're almost like accepting the fact that this bit won't be as timeless as the rest because it's such a popular culture sort of thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's something that when I was younger, I was like, oh, that's deadly. And now I'm like, it's just not really that funny, you know?
Yeah, they're just sort of poking, not even poking fun. They're just kind of making reference to this is kind of like Pulp Fiction.
The line, what I liked about it was actually Eddie was the best thing about the whole thing, where he's like, must have sprung up overnight. And then it's like, when they're like, yeah, but they call him Shakes, and he's like, "Huh, Shakes, you know what you're getting." Like Eddie just being,
he is good.
Yeah, like he's somebody who's criminally underused, I think, you know, because they really tried to like push Lou as this I don't know, like this
wise cracking sort of
bigger cop. Star. No, but yeah, as the series went on, it was like somebody who's like above his station, you know, like that.
Yeah,
he's better used in small and. I always think Eddie was just somebody who was...
He was kind of criminally underused, wasn't he?
Like, just like some of his line readings, like, I've always enjoyed. I'm talking about him as if he's an actual actor, but like...
It's probably just one of the, like, Harry Shearer or
Dan Hank Azaria or whatever. It's like, actually probably, exactly.
Yeah.
That Eddie.
Bumblebee Man talking about his day like it really happened, I liked. Because like, he's just talking about like what happened to him on the TV show, and he's just like putting out his glove for the big baseball. Like,
yeah. And then the whole thing with like the house collapsing. But I'm trying to think what the first instance was that like set off the whole chain of events. I know he hits the radio... And like,
oh, he opens the cupboard. The cupboard. And a bunch of oranges fall out.
Yeah,
this poor guy.
And that whole like everything going wrong. I like the music.
Yeah, his house burns down.
It falls apart from like it falls him apart, hanging onto the fan. But like, what I liked was the wife was coming down the stairs. And only when she got down the stairs did she realize that her house had fallen apart. Like, she's walking down the stairs normally. It's like, and like starts giving out to him. Like, you're upstairs and there's your landing has anything? Just collapsed. Like, no, yeah.
Then I have the.
But just nice to see. Just nice to see, like, again, like the home life of one of these weird characters. And then they turn up to 11.
You never see
it's
again.
It's good. Yeah, it's just good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Bumblebee Man, I've always had a soft spot for.
Definitely.
But then you have Channel Snake Ocho driving into Chief Wiggum.
Yeah. Did you like the t-shirt he was wearing?
No, what was it?
It was like Middlebury. That's his college. And like, I don't know, was it this episode where he's like, goodbye student loans?
Oh yeah, yeah it was, yeah.
So like, yeah, so...
Oh, so he's got...
That's like, he's wearing his college t-shirt. Again, another nice little callback.
I never got that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a little Easter egg, you might say.
Yeah, I did, yeah, but with Wiggum...
This is going to be one motherfucker of an edit, this one.
I'd say like, you'll just be like, okay, there's no sound on either of you. Just snip that out there, you know. Just tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. Thank God it's Wednesday,
fucking
huh?
Son of a...
Yeah, you'll try.
Yeah, I know.
Are you yelling at me?
That's my week plan.
Son of a bitch.
But the scene when he goes into the post box, I love the letters just flying up like a fire hydrant. Yeah,
again, Pulp Fiction, nice like
the kid.
Yeah, yeah, but like even just like Wiggum being like, donuts, I got donuts. Oh, hey, I know you. And then like
such a
Snake just
man.
Like flooring it, like this makes me. This I'm like, oh, I love the fact Pulp Fiction again. Like,
I kind of got that feeling too. But I also love the fact that Wiggum is actually able to fight Snake, and he's proper rolling around with him and like not just getting out of breath immediately.
Wow. Like, I love that he was like, he's like, we gotta exchange insurance info. Like, it's not out of malice that he's trying to catch him or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And then, of course, I was like, man, this is how good this episode is, that it's like Herman is the fucking guy, you know, the weird,
makes so
but like
much sense.
I was like, yeah, it makes so much sense, and it's like almost too obvious, but yet it's too perfect. You know what
it's
I mean?
Perfect.
Like, it's absolutely perfect. And like, I'm watching it now as an adult. I'm like, I loved this as a kid, but I did not get the fact that he's going to rape, you know, Chief Wiggum and Snake.
No.
Like, you know,
I know.
It's like, what?
I was only thinking that. I was only thinking that when I was watching it. I was like,
you know what comes,
like,
next?
Did it actually happen? Yeah, but I was thinking, I was like, did that actually happen in Pulp Fiction?
Mm.
And it took me a minute to think. I was like, oh yeah, you remember it then. But
Ving
like,
Rhames got ass raped.
Jesus. But like, I feel like that would affect me more now if I seen it than it did when I was like, whatever.
If you were watching that for the first time, the Simpsons or Pulp Fiction?
Because it never... Pulp Fiction, I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I've gone softer in my old age.
No, but when was the last time you saw somebody take a chance like that in a fairly... I mean, that was independent movie that went mainstream, but like, you know, like...
Yeah.
It's not... They don't do stuff like that in the movies anymore. You know what I mean? Like, Tarantino is fully mainstream now. That was a second movie. That was a fairly... like low budget, like I think one of the credited producers on that is Danny DeVito, like, you know, somebody who he's known for
just loan some money
pretty much, like he's known for like encouraging indie filmmaking, like he basically
that's good,
yeah, he's great. He's like, obviously we
he seems
we
like
all,
a great guy.
Yeah, I would love to meet Danny DeVito, let me tell you, because he's one of the most fascinating, like, quote-unquote movie stars in the history of Hollywood, I think. Like, this guy who was, like, on Taxi, small, bald guy, and all of a sudden, in the 80s, he becomes this, like, movie star. And then, like, an above-the-line movie star. They're making movies based around Danny DeVito in the 90s, you know? Like, he is the star.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at him, you're like, oh, he's Schwarzenegger's sidekick in Twins, of course. But, like...
As
it goes on, like, you're like, you don't know, it's a Danny DeVito movie. You're like, really?
And he's still like, and I love the fact that he, like, even on Always Sunny, like, he commits 100% to do whatever, like, is gonna be funny, like,
you,
this, the coming
you
out of the couch
story,
naked,
like, how,
and all this, like,
yeah, that's the best one. But you know the story of, like, why he came on to the show.
Why?
So they were, like, well received in the first season, but the ratings weren't great. But critically, they were good. Because I always remember, I watched the first season on 3E way back when.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in it. Danny DeVito wasn't in it. And then they said to Rob McElhenney that, like, we need a star. Like, we need a movie star type, you know, somebody to come in so people will tune in and be like, oh, he's on this show. And I'm sure that's how a lot of people got onto it as well, that it was like, oh, geez,
yeah, Danny DeVito sort of brings them in, and then they realize it's funny. Yeah,
the fact that they were able to get Danny DeVito, I remember him talking about it, it was like just going to pitch to him, and he was like, yeah, okay, that sounds great, that sounds really weird, really dark, yeah, I'm in. And like, the fact that it was this what, he's in his 70s, he must be at this stage now, like,
yeah,
this guy that like, okay, he's the movie star you're bringing in, this weird like disgusting old man character, like, that
just, you know, it just fits so perfectly. Like, and I think maybe actually the first season he didn't, it wasn't quite like a fit. He was sort of like the authoritarian character, and then as he, like, got more into sort of just into the
when
life,
they struck gold when they paired him with Charlie, and then, you know, that was it. Like, that the two of them, you're off to the races. You know, you found you found your formula there. Like,
anyway, this is a long one.
We'll save that for the It's Always Sunny cast.
Yes, seasons 4 to 10, of course.
Of course, that's our the only review show is season 4 to 10.
Then we get back to Lisa's.
Well, you get Lovejoy first.
Flanders needs the shovel. So his dog's making on his grass.
Well, look, I just love Flanders, like, nice to see you there on my lawn with your dog. It's like, oh, look at that. Oh, bad dog right on the edge lawn. How could you do such a thing? Like, don't stop the music. Like, to get to the Lovejoy marriage episode, I'd be really interested to kind of talk about that one, because
he's an interesting character. All right,
he's a really dark kind of character when you kind of have a look at him. Like,
He is, he's not pure at all.
Hello, Ned.
Then I suppose the only thing about the kitchen scene is just, I love the fact that everyone just shows up to try and help, and I love just the mascot just honking and dancing silently.
I love, first of all, I love the opening where, like, again, the great transition when Ned comes in. He's like, Marge Simpson, still making juice the old-fashioned way? And she's like squeezing the lemon on Lisa's head. She's like, no, I got gum in my hair. And like, the fact that, like, Ned is hitting it with the hammer. She's like, ah!
Stop! Seems to have mashed more hair into it.
So yeah, then you get the, like I say, you get Groundskeeper Willie, you get Lionel Hutz, you get Uder, who has appeared. Jesus, Uder Watch. So he didn't die at the field trip.
I never even noticed. Good for Uder. Not dead.
No, he's alive. Good for him. Not dead. Uder Watch is, Uder status is alive. So that's good.
More on that later.
I don't seem to see, he's not noted in the script here I'm looking at.
We saw him. I'm pretty sure I saw him.
Yeah. Well,
the next one is the Cletus. Cletus. That's the song, like, that's just goes round and round my head. But I'm not thinking of something. I'm thinking of that song.
What I like about it is whoever is doing the voice of Cletus, the performance they're putting in is so fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not at a 10, like, as if it is a sitcom and he knows when he has to, like, punch his line or whatever. Like, he's like, hey, Brandine, you could wear these to your job interview. And he's like, the boots. And just her being, again, like, you can hear the canned laughter that's not there.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, stop up the topless dancing, Rodwig. Nah, you best bring him back. We're from, you got him. And it's like, that's it. That's your clip. He just climbs up.
I always remember me dad laughing at the, hey, Ma, get off the dang roof. That's all.
I
just
the Fae as well. We're watching it. My dad loved that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was more partial to the back you go.
Yeah.
To wait for a woman with more discriminating taste. And then he's just hung there for so long while the
music's playing.
Yeah, the some song is playing.
Never
like,
lose toll, but then again, some folk will
the slack jolly yokel. It's very good. For something that shouldn't work, if you look at it, I'm like, if they did it now, I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, fuck
but
off.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Back then, they
hadn't
done it.
They'd earned it. They'd earned it. Exactly.
Yeah.
They hadn't done it, and it was something fresh and new, and they had enough goodwill in the bank that you're like, actually, yeah, this does make sense.
Yeah. The next scene is Milhouse is bursting. He's tries to use comic book guy's toilet. I'm a big fan of the... That is a rare photo of Sean Connery signed by Roger Moore.
Yeah.
He has to buy.
I was thinking of you. I was thinking of you because I don't know. We were talking about it a while ago, and you brought that up, and I was like, "Yeah, great, like comic book." Again, great use of a comic book guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we were talking about the when they kind of overused them was the Itchy and Scratchy episode, like go for the good of the city,
yeah.
You know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay. But like throughout this season I think they've used him perfectly with the like as if he sold the Bart's soul to the devil,
yeah.
You know, and other stuff that you're like, yeah, they know their boundaries and they know their limits with him. They kind of pushed it once,
yeah,
and then further on it's like they're devoting whole episodes to him. You're like, no.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. Too
but
much,
I like
too
I
much.
Like
use
the fact
him,
that it's
use
kind
him
of...
in a two line capacity.
It's kind of like a bit of a mecca for them or something like that, the comic book. Like, I like the fact that they go somewhere and they talk to someone who impacts the plot, but like he can be very easily overused, that character.
Yeah. Like you would think in the Radioactive Man episode he would have been used so much more.
Yeah.
But the fact that they only used him at the very start is perfect.
Yeah, it was weird, right?
Need no star or Empic.
Or Empic.
You know, and that that whole thing is like perfect. Whereas
I never thought how good it was.
An episode, but it's the perfect amount. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, but like with so many other Simpsons characters, they're like, well, we've run out of stuff to do with the main family, so
yeah.
I don't know. You know, comic book guy's origin story.
Perfect.
You know, like okay. Keep talking. Graining is just sitting there like...
I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, but... I never understood why Herman let Milhouse use the bathroom when he tries Herman's face. He's like, all right,
back
there.
He was just trying to like, get them in and out. Like, like
his dad.
But the fact that he name checks Zed, and it's like, it's so creepy with Herman's voice being like, as soon as Zed gets here, the party will begin.
The party will
begin. And like... The eyes of Wiggum and Snake, where they're like,
it's quite dark actually for a Simpsons, isn't it? Like I keep
because then
I
he's like,
just thinking
like,
of the
get
Pulp
in the
Fiction.
Corner, like what, like he's like get in the corner. What happens if Milhouse doesn't come out? You know,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like what happens here is does Kirk watch or you know like does he tie him up too? Like
doesn't bear thinking about to be honest.
No, it really doesn't.
You know, on a slight side note, I watched 2 minutes of Law Abiding Citizen. Have you seen that?
That's Jerry Butler and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, have you seen it?
I've not seen it. No, I've not seen it, and I can go to bat for Jerry Butler. When it's trash, which it mostly is, you know, like trashy action. But
I kind of turned it on and I was saying to Carrie, I was like, I don't want to watch this guy for a whole movie. I know who Jared Butler is. I just don't particularly love him. And I was just about to turn it off and then people burst in the door. And then there was anyway, a fairly horrific scene involving his family. I was just like, I sent to Carrie afterwards, I was like, I really wish I turned it off when I did. Because I initially turned it off, I was like, oh, hang on, something's about to happen. And then I was like, oh.
Now I'm going to have a quick check here for you on Netflix, right?
Go
on. Because there is a movie that I think you would like him in, because it's crap, but it's good.
Okay.
It's called, is it on, because I watched it on Netflix a while ago, and I've had a load of reviews for you, and they basically, every time I'm like, oh, I'm going to give this for Andy, and it's like, it's gone off Netflix.
Okay.
And this one has gone off Netflix as well.
Always. Every time you look for it, Netflix are fucking pricks. There, I said it. They're always doing this.
I'm going to check Prime. The movie's called Den of Thieves. Have you heard of it?
I haven't.
It's pretty fucking good in a bad way, or bad in a good way. Whatever way
if I stumble, you want to put it. If I stumble across it, Terry, I will give it a go. I'm in a real movie watching playing, mode.
He's playing like a dirty cop. It's like Heat. A worse version of Heat.
Haven't seen that either, to be honest.
Well, look, save that. We might come across that on the Patreon. I wouldn't want you to ruin your first time without watching it for that. Let me just say.
Without watching it seriously.
100%. It's not on Prime either.
All right, well, whatever. The last.
So we're at the end. Pretty scene, much this at the is. End, yeah, like.
It's Nelson and the tall guy, and I just love. But so like, first Lisa, of all, Lisa gets
first
the.
Of all, it's Lisa getting the haircut. Yeah, it's so good.
And it's such a shame. Like Nelson, Nelson's just laughing at everything, but that's enough for Lisa to never have that hairstyle again.
First of all, when she says, I finally look like a real person. I was like chuckling at that. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. And then even the bartender, what does he say? He's like, if you don't stop struggling, they're going to have a little ball girl.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Like,
great voice. I like the fact that he's like, you want me to style it or cut it? Like, he's going to style the gun.
Yeah. So then, Nelson laughs at her, and then it's Mrs. Glick.
Yeah.
Just, I love the way she falls into the trash can. She falls head over heels, literally.
Like legs kicking. It's like Richie and Bottom. Like.
Yeah, exactly. That will that movement will never not be funny to me.
Stuck in a trash can, stuck in something
with her legs flailing, and like again, the one you think is like the most innocuous, like Nelson being like, ha ha, and I don't know why, but my dad also loved this.
That was
where
great.
It was like the tall guy,
so good,
and like
it's so imitable
running away. Yeah, and but like Lisa being like, he's down there, and it's just like the hand down
the top
the
of
head.
His head, like just pulls him up.
And I love fact that when he's like, you find something comical about my appearance when I'm driving my automobile. He's like, everyone needs a vehicle, even the very tall. This was the largest auto I could afford. Am I therefore to be made the subject of fun?
I guess so.
And like he's like, oh, he's like, he's expecting him to be like, no, I'm sorry, or whatever. And the fact that Nelson is just like,
I guess so.
Yeah, like, first of all, he's so shocked, but he's also like, just, I'm going to tell the truth here.
I actually like, found this kind of mean watching it back this time.
Definitely.
He's like, let's laugh at him. Like, he pulls his cacks down, forces him to like walk in the street and blow them kisses.
Like, did you notice who was in the crowd when he's like, let's laugh at him?
No,
they're
was
like,
it?
Ha ha. Don Brodka was there smoking a cigarette laughing at Nelson.
What?
Yeah, couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
It's just not believable, Andy.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't.
And then I always remember when like the ketchup and the mustard fell on Nelson.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was like, oh, they're fucking
dead.
Yeah,
because he sees
like,
them.
Whaley gets them in school. Like, you know, like, they're dead. They're dead.
You're dead, Burns.
You're dead, Simpson.
Yeah, definitely. And that was kind of it. You get Professor Frink at the end, who doesn't get time.
This is where it's like, but it's also like, the show is getting... one of the very first instances, really, of the show being like, we're actually a TV show, you know, like, in it where it's like, oh, it's the, you know, the screen is fading to black, and he realizes
no,
the screen is fading to black, and then he's talking like, oh, that monkey's gonna pay, you know, that whole like, Professor Frink, will make you laugh, will make you think, and then the run, and then the thing.
Oh,
I'm just trying to think, before we get into ratings, is there anybody else you think they could have included in the 22. Like, Frink would be one of the ones, like you say, that he gets there at the end and he gets his little moment without actually having a part in the episode. But, like, is there anybody else that you think that they probably should have included?
Let me think. I mean, who... The kind
of... I would have loved a bit of Brockman, to be honest. Maybe like a bit of Kent Brockman, you know, like something like that.
Brockman
that
would
like,
have been again, good.
A very underrated. They say Krusty. They've already devoted episodes to Krusty, so he's almost like the next tier up.
Yeah,
he's that in between tier, and I guess Skinner would be as well. But like, I think we devoted a good 20 minutes of the pod talking about Skinner.
Well worth it, Terry. I'll tell you right now. We'll get into ratings actually, and I'll tell you right now. Well, you tell me first of all. Is there anyone else that you would have?
I would have liked to see a bit of Lenny or Carl.
Yeah,
you know, maybe as well. Like,
yeah,
they're always good fun. You know, if you see them out for a what do they do on the days off? Like, are they hanging out together?
You know, yeah, like, are they living
something
together?
Like that, like. Whoa. Well, we all know Lenny lives alone in his house.
Oh, yeah.
But then last season he was shaving his wife's legs. Well, I mean, maybe it wasn't his wife. Who knows? You know, he was shaving a lady's legs when Homer was asking Lenny to go out. And remember when Marge was out with Ruth?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, hey, I'm watching the game, Homer. And she's like, no, shave up, you idiot.
Oh yeah,
he's shaving a woman's legs. I would assume that was his wife, but maybe not.
I never.
Who
got
knows
that.
What he gets up to?
Well, look, I'm going to get right into ratings here, Terry, because it's getting this is going to be our longest episode ever.
Great though, like
we want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What did you think of this one?
I fucking loved it. Again, like a very strong run that the show has been on. And quite frankly, I don't know if it is my love of Pulp Fiction that drives my love of this episode, but I just love the like non-linear story. It's something different. But the writing is such high quality. Like there's not one bit in the episode where I was like, oh, there was one, maybe the Chief Wiggum part. The first part of Chief Wiggum and Krusty Burger. But that's like one out of 20, like we're talking about. Like the rest of them, I was really high on, I have to say. Like,
yeah.
There was something
high quality
in each part of them that I was like, I was laughing. I was laughing a lot. And because they kind of have changed their story format, they're not trying to tell one linear story. And sometimes they're great when they just stick to one story and it's fantastic, and sometimes they stick to an idea that's barely a story and it doesn't hit as home. The fact that they're saying our story this time is 22 ideas
I think
works fucking brilliantly.
Yeah,
you know, it's this smorgasbord of have a little pick here, you know. And because it's the quality is so high, it's for me, I was like yes. Like the whole time. I couldn't believe, after watching, I couldn't believe I was laughing so much out loud. You know what I mean? Like with a Simpsons episode that you've seen so many times, you get a couple of big laughs, and a lot of times I'm smiling and I'm like, that's really, really good. With this one, I was laughing every other line pretty much. So I was very happy with it.
That's kind of what you get when, like we were saying at the start, where they can just take all the things that they love to do the most when it comes to writing characters, and just put it all together and not have to worry about tying it in anywhere or anything like that.
Yeah.
Seemed like they had a lot of fun.
This is stuff that we've kind of laid the groundwork for over the last 6 seasons, and now we're going to punch up all our favorite bits about these characters.
Yeah.
And lay it out there for 22 minutes or whatever. It's great. It's so good.
And just the whole process of them actually picking names out of a hat.
That's
like,
another great thing as well.
Because you're building the whole scene around that character's strengths then. You know, like that's why the Mo scene, they use him perfectly, because it's like, what would be the funniest thing for Mo, you know?
And what are his main characteristics that we need to hit
in
this 15, 20 second clip that he's going to be in, like, you know?
Like,
and just you saying that, the whole, you know, pick your three characters, like, that shows you that it's a show operating at its peak confidence, peak powers, that, like, they can, well, we'll just do this. It does remind me of kind of like Seinfeld, like, in their sixth and seventh season as well, where they're just like, you know what, like, we know we're fucking brilliant now, and let's...
swinging their dick around.
100%, like, you know, like, let's peacock for a little bit, like, you know, and show them how... Like, I always think of the Fusilli Jerry episode of Seinfeld, and I'm like, I know they've had loads of other episodes that they've really kind of, like you say, slapped their dick on the table, or it's like, what about, you know, the contest, all that. But the Fusilli Jerry episode is essentially, it ends with, like, one of the main characters' dad getting a fucking
impaled
up his ass, like, you know, like, I'm like, but they coalesce the stories perfectly, and it's like, makes so much sense. And the last line, like, the million and one shot doc, and just, you're just like, yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, perfect, but, like, it works so well. And this is kind of, to me, this show is them showing that, like, We can do whatever we want now. We're that comfortable.
And it works.
We're in the groove. Like,
who's your MVP?
Andy, it's really hard. I'm probably going to go Chalmers, just because. Nice. Yeah, you know, like, that's the bit that really is a high point. And even though it's hard to pick an MVP because
there's so many,
most people only have one section. Well, if you have two, it kind of makes up two halves of a whole.
Yeah.
But they seem, even though probably if you ran the tape, it's not the longest section. It seems like it's the longest. You know what I mean?
I was debating between Chalmers and Mo, or even Skinner, because, like you said, that they all get an opportunity to sort of shine in this one.
Like, I like Wiggum as well. Yeah, I was considering Wiggum too. When they get past the whole Pulp Fiction in the like, his sunny demeanor, and, like, I don't know, like, for me it was just, that's the iconic scene, those two, and it's one of two. It was either Chalmers or Skinner. Yeah, really,
you know? Well, if you go Chalmers, I'll go Skinner, just to mix it up.
My rating,
please,
is gonna be a 9.7.
That's exciting. 9.7, Terry.
I never realized how much I fucking loved this episode until I was watching it again. I mean, I've always loved it, but, like, I don't know. It's just, like you say, you said that the rating is exciting. I think this is an exciting episode. Mm. I really do. I think it's noteworthy in terms of the Simpsons run.
Yeah. Very well said. To be honest, I couldn't and I won't put it better myself. But I would give it a 9.4 myself.
That your highest of the season?
It's joint. I gave
I think I've put girlfriend. This is the most I've put in the nines.
Oh, definitely.
Is this
you've
year.
Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the nines.
Is that just for this season?
For this season. And even I've got, really? Even I've got, like, 5, which I never.
What did we put? Bart Sells' Soul. I'm sure it was a high one as well.
I don't have the episode names. I just have the numbers. But anyway, can we get our plugs in, please, Terry?
Sure.
Where can they,
Andy? Where can the good find the good folks find us online? The good find folks us online.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Put it in H podcast. You can find everything there. Where else can they find us? You know what?
Well,
hang on. I'm turning my video back on.
Okay. Hey, there he is.
I feel like I'm on a phone call, even though I can see you technically. It's giving me a different dynamic. I want the video dynamic.
So, you can find us on patreon.com. If you type in Put It in H, we are creating podcasts. And over there, behind the $5 paywall, that's all you need to do to get behind our paywall. Pay $5
a month.
You get 2 episodes per month of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we are Well, Andy has curated a lovely little list for me on 90s action movies. Mm-hmm. So we're two episodes in. We've done Face Off and Cards on the Table. We're about to record True Lies.
Very excited about that.
I have no idea what else is coming. There's a lot to talk about. Some interesting stuff to be gleaned.
Very much.
From what seems like, I mean, it is almost 30 years ago, you know, the 90s.
Yeah, Jesus.
It just seems like a completely different era. But there's lots to dig into there.
Hating this.
So you might have to edit that whole thing.
I still can't hear you.
Well, yeah, such an interesting time, the 90s, almost 30 years ago. Now, times have bloody changed, let me tell you.
Boy, have they.
There'll be a lot to talk about in the first two episodes of our latest miniseries. We also did a miniseries on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, 24 episodes mm-hmm. in full there. We do bonus episodes, so we've done an episode on, you know what, we did a couple of lovely little episodes recently. One was What Would Your Perfect Day Be? And I have to say, mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed finding out what Andy's perfect day was in comparison to mine. We just say they differ wildly.
Terry had a very accessible perfect day.
Oh man, I'm a simple man. As Lynyrd Skynyrd said, anyway, if you want to know, you'll have to pay to listen. We've also done our Dream Festival, so we kind of designed our Dream Festival for one another, and we've done like Dreamcast, so we tried to pitch each other movies. There's a lot of little random stuff there, and they're all very fun. They're this show was very free flowing, but these ones are even more free flowing. And if you can't afford the $5 subscription to the Patreon, and I know it's a pandemic, things are tough, Andy is less forgiving than I am, but that's okay, you know, I'm on your side, guys, I'm on your side.
Terry, this fucking gone.
What you can do for me
fucking
is...
Fucking grey. Fucking bollocks. Fucking bollocks. Fucking bollocks. Where is he? I can't. I hate this.
Can you hear anything I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you now a little bit. Fuck's sake.
Should I turn my camera off?
Yeah, I think maybe you should. Video. Ridiculous.
Oh. How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Oh, good luck editing that. Anyway.
Oh my God, what a nightmare this is going to be. Well, how long is this episode even on for? An hour 36. And that's without edits. Fucking hell. Oh, God.
Leave all this in. Double it.
Folks, I apologize. I apologize for this episode. It's all over the place. This lack of internet has really thrown me this episode. Anyway, what else? Have we got it all? Unbelievable.
No, if you can't afford the $5.
Jesus, we're still on this. Yeah, go on.
Times are tough, I know. Unlike there being 22 short stories in Springfield, I only need 5 stars to make me happy.
How does he do it?
I'm going super fucking loopy. 5 stars. Rate, review, subscribe, all those good things.
Don't judge us on this episode, folks.
please don't. Oh, God. I can't go on.
I can't.
Yeah, Andy's...
Yeah, I'm about to lose the plot. but thanks for joining us. Can't win them all, huh? We'll see you next week. We'll be better next week. I'll have internet. Goodbye.
Some vocal memories good, but then again, some vocal like Cletus the Slackjaw Yokel.
Hey, what's going on this side?
Most vocal never lose a toe, and then again, some vocal like Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel.
Hey, you know what? I could call my ma while I'm up here.
Hey, ma! Get off the dang roof!